You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to hug you, don't you, if I really, really would, but the feeling in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the war, and I'd like to give the information, asking for love, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, and you are listening to the Common Sense Show here on Global Star Radio Network. Don't forget about our Monday through Friday show, which airs from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. That's Mountain, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. That's Eastern. And you can listen to it right here. Global Star carries everything that we do, except we do have this little venture over on Talk Network, and Jim and I will talk a little bit about that in the last segment. But tell you, we're really expanding operations because there's too much to cover in 1 3-hour period, and we're going full bore for as long as we can. And I agree with Doug. We are going to be shut down. Well, stay with us also through hour number three, because Katie will be bringing us the health report. Well, she'll deny me 3 different foods that I can consume. And in the final half hour, James White will bring us the latest in the Red List news. Come on, Katie. I should have heard a little chuckle in the background. Our guest. Thank you, Katie, for that courtesy laugh. But our guest for this hour is my friend Bob Griswold of ReadyMadeResources.com. And you've heard me talk about his many great products. But he's also kind of morphed into our security consultant, where he's coming on and providing very valuable information to our listening audience. And, Bob, first of all, welcome to the show. And second of all, I know that you heard the first hour with Doug, and I just wanted to get your reaction to start us off.
Well, I'll get your reaction. I mean, you can get my reaction by segueing into what Doug said, because we need to listen to this. You know, I do use social media. I think it's one of the most powerful tools we have. I know the CIA and everybody else follows what I do, but I still get the message out. And so that's a decision each person has to make, whether you're going to use social media or not. But, you know, Dave, it stuns me that I am condemned so strongly by Christian people who call me, who say they're Christian, and saying that I do not want this Muslim invasion in my country. For somehow not letting the Muslims in to do what they've done for 1,400 years is somehow non-Christian. You know, I can post quotes by Jonathan Edwards, you know, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He thought Islam and the papacy were like co-antichrists. You have Luther, Calvin, you name the reformer, and they spoke. I mean, Calvin called Islam and the Islamists hellhounds. Can you imagine using that today? I think I'd probably the lynch mob would come and get me if I called them hellhounds.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah, you're right.
But that's Calvin, one of the greatest reformers of Protestant Christendom. I mean, Jonathan Edwards, Sinners at the Hands of the Angry God, one of the most smartest men in American history. He was not only a brilliant theologian, he was a brilliant scientist. He feared Islam for what it was, and he called it the Antichrist. That's what he thought it was, the Antichrist. I'm reading a book right now, Thomas Jefferson and the Tripoli Pirates. Now, we have to remember, let's get this 1,400-year history of what these people have brought to the world. 80 million, when they invaded India, in subcontinent, 80 million Indians died. When they've invaded Africa, 110 million Africans died. 1.5 million Europeans were captured and killed. That's what America's first war we ever fought as a new country was against Islam. I'd like to read you a quote out of this book, and I highly recommend getting it because it's an excellent book. It does a very good job of explaining, you know, America's first interactions with Islam. The Muslim pirates had been kidnapping and ravaging our ships off the Barbary Coast. Thomas Jefferson was president. Or actually, there was Jefferson and Adams were president, and they tried to ignore the situation. These people wanted to be bribed. They wanted money. They wanted all these other things that we would give them. They leave us alone. Finally, came to a head, and Thomas Jefferson sent John Adams down to negotiate with these people, these Muslims. And this is what he said. Adams asked the Barbary States if they could justify making war upon a nation had done them no injury. The response was nothing less than chilling. According to his holy book, the Quran, this Muslim, I don't even want to try to pronounce his name, explained, quote, "All nations which had not acknowledged the Prophet were sinners, whom it was the right and duty of the faithful to plunder and enslave. Christian sailors were, plain and simple, fair game." That's what we're dealing with. We're not dealing with something new. We're dealing with something very old, very sinister, that has brought murder, conquest, slavery, sex abuse. You know, in the United States alone, if you go to the CDC website, there are upwards of 500,000 women who have been sexually mutilated, you know, female genital mutilation, in the United States. Is that number staggering to you, Dave?
It's so barbaric. It's so horrific. It just offends every sensibility I have. And that number, yeah, I don't know how people can do that to people they live with and ostensibly care about.
Well, they think it's part of this culture that they have. I'm going to be rather vulgar right now because I'm going to quote something. It says, "Only a whore needs a clitoris." That's a saying that they have. Now, you can take that for what it's want. I hope I didn't cross a boundary right there.
No,
but that's something they say. So they mutilate women. So it's not anything like circumcision, male circumcision. This is actual the removing the ability for a woman to enjoy relations with her spouse. So 500,000. Go to the CDC website. You can check it out. 51% of Muslims in America, according to Breitbart, support Sharia law over constitutional law. That's the thing. When you hear these Christians tell me, you know, wouldn't Jesus let these people in? Isn't there freedom of religion? Yes, there's freedom of religion, but there's not freedom to commit treason. Constitutional law and Islamic law are diametrically opposed. They cannot coexist. So if we're bringing these people in that want to overthrow the Constitution, how stupid does someone have to be to argue the point of we have to let them in because we had a freedom of religion? I cannot fathom Christian people having those kind of concepts in their brain. It just baffles me that people can think that way. As you know, I've traveled to the Middle East quite extensively, and I'm not going to go into it, but I've seen a lot of stuff the average tourist won't see. And I'm telling you, it's not pretty. The trafficking of everything, weapons, people, it is part endemic to their culture. So I just wanted to mention that. We have 1,400 years of barbarism, and we have 1,400 years of Christendom up to this point saying that we need to repel these people by any means necessary. Use force. Luther said we need to use Christians and armed force to repel them. Now, I didn't make this up, so we have 1,400 years of some of the most notable men of God throughout the Protestant movement telling the church and actually doing it, resisting this Muslim invasion. And today, we're being told by Christian leaders, just bring them in and love them. You know, when it's your daughter who's been mutilated, when it's your daughter who's been raped or killed or whatever, will you have the same opinion? Will you have the same belief? I mean, it's nice to have these beliefs in an ivory tower, you know, where you can just pontificate upon theological what-ifs. But when, you know, the reality of it hits your family, as it hit the families in California, as it hit the families where that Muslim killed those people on the Army base, or the USS Cole, or whatever you want to say, when it hits you there, it's like you said in the earlier hour. It never happens to me, does it? It won't ever happen to me. It'll be them, not me. But when it becomes you, what are you going to do? And on top of all this, you know, we've not even talked about the other news of what's going on in China and Russia, the economy, you know, this whole thing of gun confiscation, which I want to address right now. You know, I think there's a very good chance Barack Obama will try to somehow outlaw, you know, any type of military-style weapon. And so this is what I would answer the question that was asked to me earlier, what do we do to avoid gun confiscation? Well, I've been in the preparedness business now for 20 years. We started in 1995, and it's 2015, so 20 years. And I've seen cycles come and go. And each time these cycles are getting more and more drastic. But when they come and people get scared, there's not enough supplies in the prep industry to supply when fear reigns. Prices skyrocket. As we saw the last time the gun ban came around, and you know, people were paying $2,500 to $3,000 for an AR-15 that costs $600 today. The thing to do is do it now before those things happen. So I want to just address a couple things. The prevalent firearm, the prevalent rifle in America today is the AR-15. And I like to address the AR-15. I've shot quite a few rounds through one. Not all AR-15s are the same. So this is what I would tell people to do. Get a pen and pencil and write some of these things down, because if you think you're going to take a $600 AR-15 and feed 500 rounds through it without problems, you've got pipe dreams. You've never done it. It's not going to happen. You're going to start having issues with the weapon after you fire 200 or 300 rounds through it. You're going to start having carbon buildup. The weapon won't seat properly. And there's a reason why Noveske, Daniel Defense, Valtor, these upper shelf AR-15s cost $2,500 to $3,000, and you can go to Walmart and get $600. Does anybody think they're the same? They're not. Now, if you already own an AR-15, I would recommend several things right now. DPMS, they have repair kits, extractors. That's like a weak point of an AR-15. It can be a weak point. They can break. And if you have a broken extractor on an AR-15, you're going to fire a round, have to manually take a rod and push out the round, put another round in, fire it, take a rod, push the round out, and do that. An extractor is maybe $2. But with DPMS, you can buy a complete rebuild kit. I would get several of those. This is how we avoid it, because, again, once your AR-15 breaks and you have to go to the black market or make one, I mean, an extractor, you can make one out of a piece of steel if you were, you know, good enough and you just had some files and other things, you could make it. But, you know, when springs and other things go bad, you better have replacement parts. Now, again, like I said, DPMS sells them. A lot of other people sell them. Buy quality parts. Buy quality replacement parts. Cheap. Well, in Tennessee, we can use improper language, but as they say, cheap ain't good and good ain't cheap. No, really, Tennessee's a pretty good state for education, but I'm just being funny. So if you're paying something cheap, you're not going to get a good weapon. You're not going to get good parts. You're not going to get good magazines. There's a reason why people want Magpul magazines. There's a reason why and I think Barack will move against the magazines, the 10-band limit or something at least. You're going to see people paying $100, $200 for a 30-round magazine. You can go online tonight and buy those magazines for $15. This is how we beat it. I mean, you're not going to be buying them on the open market after it happens. And if you go on the black market after it happens, you're going to be paying exorbitant prices for these weapons. So make sure you do this. I would also recommend that if you're going to be firing AR-15 for any time at all, we sell it, but you can get it a lot of places, called Fail Zero. It's a nickel boron bolt and bolt carrier. It works so much better, because one of the problems of an AR-15 is a seating issue as it gets hot or as carbon builds up. This nickel boron bolt, you'll pick it up and it feels very, very slick. Change out your common bolt, save that for spare parts, put the nickel boron bolt in, and you'll be able to shoot that weapon a lot more times without having to worry about carbon buildup problems. Who wants to, you know, have the bad guy coming at you and all of a sudden your weapon jams? You know, that was a fault of the AR-15 when it first came out in Vietnam. It didn't have the forward assist on it, and the weapon would jam. And, you know, your soldier would basically have a club in his hand, and the, you know, North Vietnamese soldier would have an AK-47, which didn't jam, and, you know, the conclusion was pretty inevitable. I would also recommend thinking about buying an upgraded trigger for your AR-15. Timney makes an excellent trigger. It's just a drop-in trigger. You're going to pay a couple $100 for it. But if you know anything about shooting, breathing and trigger control are 90% of accuracy. And these people who go into these schools, we segue here for a minute. These people who go into these schools probably have no fire discipline at all. We talked about this in the last program.
Right.
You know, people who sit around and shoot paper targets all day long, that's easy to do. And that's what, again, that's school policy with an active shooter situation. Let's put paper targets out for them to shoot. Let's get them all huddled in a great big pile so that he doesn't even do anything but just shoot one pile, and he's going to hit, you know, the bullet can go through one person, hit another person, you know. So it's just absolutely ridiculous. You know, the moving target is much harder to hit. I don't know if any of your listeners took me up on that last time. If you have some wood somewhere, you can go out, just, you know, take a Coke bottle or a plastic bottle or whatever, put it on a string, hang it from a tree, shoot it while it's still easy to do. Swing it back and forth, try to shoot it, becomes much, much harder to do. So, with that I said, you know, get your spare parts for your firearms. If you do not have them, get them now. You know, you can buy the receiver. Now, the receiver is the part that has the serial number. That's the FFL part. If I can sell, every part to an AR-15 in most places. I don't know about some of the communist states in our country, but in most places, I can sell every part to an AR-15 except the receiver. If you buy a receiver, because I'm a federal firearm dealer, I have to do a legal transfer using the background check system. But if you get those receivers, I mean, they're $75, $80. You get a good Daniel Defense or a Valtor or whatever, maybe $150. But if you buy those receivers now versus buying them later, again, you're going to have to go through background check, but you can get them. I strongly recommend everybody who would go and think about the weapon they have. In Tennessee, we're fortunate. We can carry an AR-15 in condition one in our cars. Condition one meaning there's a round in the chamber, and it's just on safety. So you can carry that if you're, you know, a non-felon in Tennessee. You can do that even without a carry permit. So think about upgrading your AR-15. It's very much worth it. You know, if you have a good barrel versus a cheap barrel, the amount of rounds you can put through a good barrel, 10,000 to 15,000. The amount of rounds you can put through a cheap barrel, maybe 5,000. Again, the spare parts. DPMS sells the packages of spare parts. We carry them if people want them, but you can get them anywhere online. Get all your spare parts you need now. Buy multiples of them. Get proficient with your weapon. You know, if it's sitting around doing nothing, it'll probably do nothing for you when you need it. Get proficient with it now. Next thing, buy ammunition now. You saw what happened to green tip ammunition at the even threat of it being taken off the market. Prices went up exponentially overnight. You know, and people went out and bought. And this is the thing about my industry that frustrates me at times. There's a scare and people want to buy and they want it now, but the industry can't provide. If the industry's making X amount of product and all of a sudden Z comes up, they're still going to only make X amount of product, and you're going to wait and pay more when Z hits. So if you buy the ammunition now, I mean, AmmoMan.com, I mean, you know, the Lucky Gunner, there's all kinds of people out there selling, you know, AR-15 ammunition or whatever ammunition you need for relatively cheap right now. You can pick up 400 or so rounds for, $180. So it's a very good thing, and that brings me to the other point. If you're buying ammunition for your AR-15, if you buy it on stripper clips, now a lot of people don't know what stripper clips are. Stripper clips where they put 10 rounds on this little metal clip, and what it allows you to do is speed load your magazines. They have a little mil-spec speed loader. You just put the little speed loader on top of the magazine, stick the stripper clip in, and push the whole 10 rounds in 1 second. They make aftermarket ones that are better. If somebody wants to call, I can tell them which aftermarket ones to buy, but they're even better. So you can actually load a magazine in maybe 5 seconds, put all 30 rounds in 5 seconds, which, you know, again, never put 30 rounds in, always put 29 in, because the last round can prevent the seating of the weapon. So just put 29 rounds in. But so if you can buy the ammunition on stripper clips, that's even better. And I know a lot of people are selling it right now. 420 rounds on stripper clips for, I think, $189. If you can't, you can buy it loose, bulk, you can do whatever. Now, again, when you're buying the ammunition and you want to shoot plinking ammunition, 55-grain ammunition is great. If you could use it for hunting, they make 77-grain boat tail hollow point. You can pay a lot more for it, but it is exponentially more lethal. So, you know, military rounds are not meant to kill, they're meant to wound. If you want to go hunting with it, you want to get a heavier bullet, and you want a bullet that's a boat tail hollow point, and that becomes, like I said, exponentially more lethal. Also, some people might want to think about shooting suppressed. Now, I'll broach the subject. There is a bill right now before Congress. I don't know how much traction it'll get, but under the Safe Hearing Act, where they want to take suppressors off the NFA, that's National Firearms Act, where you have to actually go through ATF and pay a tax stamp. First of all, I want to strongly recommend everybody don't get suckered into buying an illegal suppressor. There's a good chance you're being set up. Don't make one. Don't use one. Don't be around somebody who has one, because it's, like I said, a good chance you're being set up. With 2.5 million ATF requests for NFA weapons every year, the government will not have the manpower to track them all down. I mean, we sometimes attribute too much power to the government. And besides that, when the bovine matter hits the oscillating device, they're going to have far more things to worry about than they're doing that. And people, they're going to go dark. I mean, at that point, all bets are off. So you might want to think about getting a suppressed weapon. It's $200. Advanced Armament makes extremely good suppressors, and at night you can hunt. I mean, you can buy subsonic ammunition. You can hunt at night, you know, if you're hunting deer or whatever, and it's a survival situation. The deer is not going to hear. Nobody's going to know. You won't hear a thing except the deer fall down. Again, generally hunting is illegal at night. Pigs in Texas are exceptions. You can hunt those all you want, sometimes coyotes and things like that, but generally, food, deer and stuff like that, they're used for food, is illegal to hunt at night. But in a survival situation, if you're trying to feed your family, I'm going to feed my family. So
that's not going to matter. That's not going to matter. I mean, the nighttime prohibition, this is actually where your night vision comes in.
Absolutely. People do not know. Again, I cannot stress it enough. Why you need night vision. I mean, and it always stuns me, the guy who has 20 guns and no night vision, because I'm thinking, I'm going to take all those 20 guns from you. I'll take every one of them. And you won't have a thing to do about it, because you'll lose everything you have. You won't be able to see at night. Bad people are going to do bad things to you at night. If you need, again, the bug out thing, I can drive, bug out, all of those things I've mentioned before with night vision. If you don't have it, you're not really prepping. That's the bottom line of it. It's as important as food and water, because it'll allow you to keep your food and water. Without it, anybody with night vision is going to take your food and water. So, just to recap, buy your firearms now. Consider buying deepest pocket budget firearm weapon you can get. An AR-15 is a great weapon. Some people want the AK-47, but buy your magazines now. Buy your ammunition now. Again, Daniel Defense.
Exactly.
Valtor, VLTOR.
Bob, we got to step aside here for a break. I apologize. We'll
be
back after a word from these sponsors. Stay tuned.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years' experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-647-1088. Again, that's 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088.
Well, I want to talk to you about my friend again, Steve Quayle. I mentioned in the last segment, I hope you have your money out of the bank. But also, too, you need to be thinking about something else with precious metals. The precious metals are really good for bartering. Really good. In fact, they're not going to take your cash. If we go through any kind of cash breakdown, cash meltdown, societal breakdown, your cash is no good. The only thing you have a chance to exchange, other than straight across trading and bartering products, is gold and silver. And it's another reason to have it. And it's the reason why I was convinced to go out and become a customer of Renaissance Precious Metals. You can call Steve tomorrow at 406-586-4842. Again, that's Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. 4842. And I want to remind everybody, we've got a lot of specials going on up on foodforliberty.com. We got the grab and go bucket. We got solar generators. And if you buy a solar generator, we're going to throw in the grab and go bucket. Great opportunity for you. Go see what we got at foodforliberty.com/Hodges. Again, that's foodforliberty.com/Hodges. And of course, we're talking to Bob Griswold. And, Bob, let me bring you into this here very quickly. You don't just sell these products. You do a lot of consulting with people about their needs, don't you?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we do. It's one of these things that a lot of people have questions and they don't know where to go. It's easy to sell a product. Having used that product in a real life situation is a completely different thing. This is why I tell people to use their products they buy. You'll see the weak points. You'll see the strong points. You'll know what to change. You'll know what to modify. You do not want to get into a survival situation with using all virgin gear. Like, what do we do with it now? That is the worst thing you can do. That's why I tell people, get your night vision now. Learn to use it now. Go on a night hike. Go into a park somewhere, you know, city park, and hike around. You can see people coming so you don't look weird. Take it off. But use it now. Get it and use it now. Same thing with your weapons. Use them now. If you think you're going to go into an active shooter situation without a predetermined plan of action, you're going to end up dead. You made the excellent suggestion too. First of all, in an active shooter situation, if you can move, get out of there, get off the X. That's rule number one. Don't stand paralyzed waiting for somebody to do something, because the somebody who's doing something is pulling the trigger and you're going to be the person that it happens to. Move. Get out of there. Move on angles, like you said. Don't run in a straight line. Move in a jagged line. If you have children with you, make sure that you talk with your children about an active shooter situation. I was visiting my mother in Virginia Beach this weekend, and I was with my one of my nephews. And, you know, we were talking and we were walking through the mall, which I didn't feel comfortable, but I was just giving him some tips. I said, quick, where are the three exits that you can see right now? And he goes, what? I said, there's three exits I can see right now to get out of this building. Where are they at? I don't know. And I said, well, there, there, and there. There's your three exits. Why do you need to know that? Well, if all of a sudden you started hearing boom, 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 you'd want to know where those exits are at pretty quickly. You want to get away from those boom, boom, booms. And so keeping situational awareness where those exits are at is critical. If you're in a high-risk situation, and malls to me, schools, any place like that where you have large numbers of people congregate are high-risk situations. You've talked about the 150 cell phones gone. God knows however many more are gone. However many propane cylinders are gone. We know they've stolen low-level radioactive material. We don't know if they have high-level radioactive material. We know that they've stolen chemical agents that you can mix together and make chemical weapons. I mean, you can buy certain insecticides. I'm not going to give the name, but they're what they call acetylcholine inhibitors. An acetylcholine inhibitor that you spray on your bugs to kill them works the same way as it does on you. It's a neurological agent that shuts down your nervous system. You can buy those things some places, I'm not going to go into it. I don't want to say it on the air. But those things are available. I mean, these people know what they are doing. They have 1,400 years of this, Dave. We live on such short sound bites. Nobody looks at the broad picture anymore. What have they accomplished? What have they done in 1,400 years? So again, I want to circle back real quick onto the AR-15 or any gun you have. Make sure you pick up cleaning supplies. You know, copper solvents, brush cleaners. You know, parts that you will need that you might not get, because obviously if you can't buy a weapon, they might stop selling all things related to weapons. We don't know. So do that. And the other thing I want to make a plug for, and we have some, the Anytone Terminators basically have sold out in this country. They do have the Anytone Obliterator. It's the only thing different is it doesn't have crosstalk repeat. I'll just say this. When the grid goes down, when the phone stops working and you can't access the internet, the first thing you're going to think of is, my loved ones, are they okay? Oh, can I get in touch with them? What am I going to do? They don't know where I'm at. I don't know where they're at. You know, it's much, much harder to shut down when you can manage those radio waves. When you have pre-planned, you know, what you're going to do when that happens. And again, there's the cheap and the good. The cheap ain't good and the good ain't cheap. You can go out and buy the $40 Bofang that when it gets dew on it in the morning, you know, when it rains on it, it's going to short out. Or you can buy a waterproof radio. Again, the Anytones are waterproof. They're guaranteed to survive 3 feet of water, 3 feet underwater for 30 minutes. That should pretty much handle rain and dew. So, again, those, if people go to our website, you can, down the new product section, we just got them in. You know, there's the Anytone Obliterator. I cannot emphasize enough getting calm right now. This is how we beat it. We prepare now. That's the whole definition of preparing. The way the American prepper market has worked so often is people prepare once the incident has happened, once the gun control has happened, once, you know, the anthrax was released and after 9/11. Everybody wanted a gas mask, which leads me to the next thing. If you're living in a city, anywhere where you could have large amounts of civil disturbance, keep in mind, the police, the military, are going to be using repelling agents, CS and MACE. If you're having to bug out or even stay in a home or function in any capacity where you have these agents going through the air to dispel rioters, then you better have a way to protect your air passages. You know, the Israelis make a great gas mask. Uses a standard 40 millimeter NATO cartridge. You can get them anywhere. I've tested them extensively. I will give some few tips on using a gas mask. And I told this to one lady, and no offense to ladies, but I asked her what the hardest part about using a gas mask was, and she said she didn't know. And I said taking it off, and she thought it's because she might get it caught in her hair. No, that's not the answer. The hardest part of using a gas mask is taking it off, but the reason it's hard taking it off is because the outside's contaminated. You better decontaminate. You better know what you're doing. And I know a lot of people have bought gas masks and they've never thought about decontaminating it because there could be whatever's outside is on the mask. And if you touch it, take the mask off and touch your face, you've just, you know, contaminated yourself. So you need to know that. People ask me frequently, how long do those filters in a gas mask last? Well, it all depends on what type of agent you're dealing with. You know, blood agents like mustard gas degrade filters very quickly. Nerve agents don't degrade them as quickly. Biological agents, you know, you're pretty good with that. But, you know, so you need to have spares. Now, here's a word of caution. I know companies that are selling training filters. They have a blue string on them or painted blue, whatever. Blue is always training in the military. And just be aware of what you're buying. Make sure you know what you're getting. These people, I won't mention their name, but they had no qualms about selling training filters to people. Like, they don't care, they won't know, who cares, you know. Well, I care. I don't want you to buy something like that. Buy a filter that's good. Now, here's the big test you do when you buy a protective mask. You can get any essential oil. We have what the military uses, and we sell them, they're called banana oil ampules. It's like a little ammonia inhalant, and ammonia inhalants will work. You put the mask on, you get it all fit on your face, everything like that, crush the ammonia inhalant or banana ampule, and start breathing, and while you're running this thing around all the penetrations of the mask where the water goes in or where the filter screws on and then where it seals to your face, obviously you should not be able to smell the banana oil or the ammonia. If you do, you don't have a good fit. This is where training comes in so important. And then there's the question people ask me, what happens if you have to sleep? Well, you better know what you're doing if you have to sleep, because if you don't have a positive pressure blower on that mask, most people will get apnea. It offers just enough resistance when you're sleeping that you can stop breathing. So they do make positive pressure blowers that will actually blow air into the mask. The nice thing about it is the Israelis, God bless them, they have a little clip on this filter. It's under $50. It blows air into the mask, which means your lungs aren't having to do the labor. You can do it because the batteries are pushing it in. It takes standard batteries, so just, you know, you store up on rechargeable batteries and keep this thing working where if you're sleeping, it's blowing fresh, clean air into you. If there's CS gas or something, riot agents floating around in the air, you don't want to have that happen. The other thing I tell people is that if somebody cannot blow up a balloon, do not put a gas mask on them. They probably don't have the lung power to make it work, i.e. children. They make special positive pressure blowers for children and things like that, infants that you can put them in, that will protect them. But do not ever put a gas mask on a child. You can suffocate them to death. In fact, during the first Gulf War, this is a pretty sad thing that happened. In Israel, when they were launching the Scud missiles in, there were at least 3 documented cases of people who died with a gas mask on because they thought they were being attacked with nerve agents and they couldn't breathe. But the only thing is they did not pull the plug out of the end of the filter to let the air in.
Oh, my.
Yeah, pretty sad. Pretty sad. So, again, there's that training thing, Dave. train. You know, we carry the Israeli gas mask. You can get them anywhere. But if you live in a high-risk area where you have might have rioting and they might use dispersal agents, you might want to think about picking one up. They also have canteens. You must fill your canteen up. So, you know, if you get thirsty with a gas mask on, if it's summer and you're sweating and you're having to move around, you can get thirsty. Last thing you want to have to do is take your gas mask off and get some of that in your face. They actually make canteens that hook up to the gas mask where you can drink the water with the gas mask on. So those are just some things people need to think about now. Again, circling back, get your, spare parts. If you can afford a good AR-15, buy it. Get your cleaning supplies now. Make sure you have the ability to clean. Go online. Download the videos now. If you're unsure of how to clean a weapon or do a field strip, they got YouTubes for everything. In fact, if you go on, I love this little girl. Her name is Mackenzie. You can go on YouTube and download it. She's, 9, 10 years old, and her father has her field strip completely in AR-15 and put it back together again in less than a minute. Pretty darn impressive. You can go down, you can download it off YouTube. Mackenzie field strips a firearm, AR-15. But you can download these videos now so you'll have them. So if you need to know how to put something back together again, some of these weapons have parts and you might not know how to do it all, but a lot of times we can learn from pictorial type, you know, videos where you can say, okay, that's how that part goes in. So download those now. Get those videos now. Again, you know, if you have a friend who knows how to do it, have them get around and do a training class of how to field strip an AR-15. Challenge for everybody listening out here. If you have an AR-15, have your wife or somebody put a blindfold on, see if you can take it apart and put it back together again. Or at least field strip it, if not all the way strip it. Because we always get to have bright sunny days and we have to do it, and it'll never happen at night, right, Dave?
I mean, that's right. Of course. Yeah. Everything goes according to plan. Bob, I do have a question, though. You're really centering on the AR-15. Why not an AK-47?
Well, again, I would say this is because AR-15s are the number one battle rifle, sold in the United States. An AR-15, we live in the golden age of tactical gear, Dave. There's so many things you can do with AR-15s today, so many upgrades and modernizations you can put on those weapons. They're absolutely phenomenal what you can do with them. The one drawback I have with the AK-47 is a piston-driven weapon. Now, not all piston-driven weapons are bad. You can actually turn an AR-15 into a piston-driven weapon, but that piston is big and heavy in that gun, and Isaac Newton does come into play. When that thing goes slamming backwards, you do lose fire discipline. I mean, if you want to spray and pray, that's fine, and if you're close range, it's fine. But with that big, if anybody's ever field-stripped an AK-47, you've got a big piston in it that goes back and forth, and that inertia, you're not going to easily counteract that inertia. Some people swear by them, and I don't want to get into the AR-15, AK-47 debate because it's like, gosh, that debate is like probably the worst debate in the prepper circles you could ever get into. The best gun to have, Dave, is the one you have when you need it. So, I mean, again, I'd rather have a 25 semi-automatic, you know, Saturday Night Special in my hand when I need it than an AK-47 in my closet. So, you know, that's the caveat of it all. You have to carry. And I think Hagman said that last hour. Carry everywhere. Carry multiple magazines. Again, we live in the golden age of tactical gear. They have things for everything. I want to mention this, and I'm not going to mention names. If you're buying tactical gear like load-bearing vests and stuff, a company called SKD Tactical, they sell only the top-of-the-line stuff. There is the Walmart brand, which I won't mention. It is the Walmart brand. It's cheap. And it's not going to hold up. We've tested it. It doesn't hold up. So, you know, when you're in the field, crawling around the ground or whatever you're doing, and your magazine pouches come undone, and you have to then try to stick them in your pockets and everything, and, you don't want to have that happen. SKD Tactical sells top-of-the-line tactical gear, and that's what I would recommend people buy. You know, you have your drop-leg holsters, whatever you need, just go there, and those good folks have always taken care of me. Again, it goes back to that thing, cheap ain't good and good ain't cheap. Buy good if you can afford it. I mean, anything's better than nothing, but if you can afford good, get good.
Bob, I'd like to ask you something else, and I've got a couple people who've emailed me similar questions, and I'm wondering, too. So the proverbial poop hits the fan, and you've decided at that point not to bug out. How do you best provide home security? You got to sleep. Well, you got to eat. What are you going to do?
Precisely. That's an excellent point. You're not going to do it by yourself. If you're going to do it by yourself, you better bug out in the woods somewhere where nobody can find you. Because, you know, you, again, that's the thing of the night vision. Anybody with night vision is going to start breaking your sleep patterns up. First thing they're going to start doing is making you not sleep. You know, I shoot a few rounds into your house, and again, Dave, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to do these things, so I just want to make it clear, but I'm saying the bad guys will. So when I say I'm speaking I collectively as the bad guys out there, the zombie squad. They're going to fire a couple rounds in your house. You know, they're going to go off and eat, sleep, do whatever they need to do. You're going to still think the boogeyman's out there, and you're not going to sleep. You're going to be petrified. You're going to be scared. Now, if you had a team and you have night vision, boy, it just becomes so much easier. So, you know, people, we have to find, and this is, again, you know, we've talked about this many times, what God speaks to my heart, what I tell people, what I feel like from the Lord. You know, first of all, we have to get our hearts right with God. We have to repent. We have to seek Him and know His will. Second of all, network, network, network. Find people that you have commonality with now. Do it now. Don't wait till after it's done and try to network with some people because you don't know what you're going to get. And I probably think I know what you're going to get. Network now. Find Christians of like mind, people who have a respect and honor for the Word of God, who have respect for life. I don't want Johnny Rambo with me who just wants to kill everybody. That's not me. You know, if I can dispense charity, I will. Now, people ask me about dispensing charity. You know, if I know somebody's in need and I can go in the middle of the night, drop some food on their doorstep and leave, that still maintains my OPSEC. If I give it to them at the street, they're going to go tell everybody they know, and, you know, I'm going to be faced with mowing people down, and I don't want to do that. So I can, there's ways to dispense charity and still maintain OPSEC. But, you better network. I'm just telling you, Dave, people think they're going to be Rambo. They're not. They're not going to be Rambo. They're gonna get in trouble real quick.
Rambo is not realistic because Rambo has to eat and sleep too.
He doesn't in you know real life. I mean, in the movies, he never does it. But and so we never see that the fact that he sleeps, he all these things. So you're gonna have to network with people, and so you have to do it now. That's the whole purpose of this message tonight: how to beat gun control, how to beat all these things. Do it now. Pay less. I mean, you know. Dave, you've seen it. What happens to food when all of a sudden when everybody gets a panic and everybody wants the same food supplies and you know you have a 1-inch garden hose and you need a 3-inch garden hose? I mean, it just doesn't work. People get frustrated, they get upset because all of a sudden it's all gone. It's all gone and they can't get any more. And then they panic and then all of a sudden they go out and start paying exorbitant prices for something you could have gotten earlier at a normal price. So, with everything we do in prep, do it while everything's hunky-dory. It's like silver. Like you mentioned Steve. I mean, why people aren't just beating Steve's door down to buy junk silver, I don't know. You can get it. It's the cheapest it's been in 5, 6, 7 years. You can buy it now, but I know so many people that bought it when it was $36,000 a bag. And now it's, you know, back down, it's retracted because people think everything's okay, but when all of a sudden it really does hit the fan, you'll be paying $72,000 for that bag.
So if you can get it.
If you can get it, that's right. So that's why I don't know why Steve, I mean, you know, he's I've known the guy for 20 years. He's been precious metals. He taught me everything I know about him. People should be beating his door down to buy this stuff because it's a phenomenal bargain right now. It's almost below mining cost if it isn't below mining cost. So people look at it and they go, well, it's down. It's not really a good buy because it's really low priced. Well, gosh, wouldn't you have liked to have bought, Windows or what is it, IBM, I mean, not IBM, you know, the Windows bought into that whole thing when they were working out of their garage? Can you imagine what it'd be worth today? It wasn't worth anything back then. But if you'd bought, you know, Windows bought into Bill Gates back in the early 80s, I mean, you'd be a quadrillionaire right now. So, you know, with bartering items like bullets, precious metals, food, buy it now. I mean,
you know, Bob, I was at a friend of mine's, and I'll leave his name out. He's pretty well known, and he lives on about an acre and a half, and he's in suburbia, but, you know, he kind of spread out living in his neighborhood. And he had me over, and he wanted to show me all his prepper stuff that he's done. And he had goats and chickens and all this stuff that could be really good for his food supply. And I said, well, this is all really impressive. Said, what's your next door neighbor's name? What about the guy that lives behind you? What does he do for a living? And he just looked at me and he said, why is that important?
Because he's going to shoot you.
Well,
I mean, that's when he gets hungry, he will, Dave. I'm gonna interrupt him.
Yeah,
please forgive me for doing it. People don't realize this, and I'm gonna, again. It happens. This happens. You'll be selling your wife in 3 days for food. I mean, it happens. I mean, I don't mean to be crude, but it happens. It happens all over the world right now. People are faced with situations where they have only one thing to barter, and they barter it. I mean, that's happening today, right now, at this very second. Somebody is compromising their body to feed themselves right now. And we don't think it'll ever come here, but it will come here. I just read an article. I don't know if you posted it or Steve posted it, but the rate of people that are prostituting themselves right now because the economy isn't providing what they need, and so they figure, I can pay for my college, I can do this if I just get some couple rich sugar daddies to give me money. I mean, it's happening in America right now. And when the economy does fall out and people don't have anything, they're going to look for somebody who does. That's another thing for just OPSEC. Just think of this. Go down to Goodwill and buy clothes two sizes too big. One size too big, two sizes too big. You put them on, it makes you look like you've lost weight. You know, unless you're not eating properly. You don't want to put your, you know, skin-tight blue jeans on at that time. You know, you just don't, in your Under Armour t-shirt that flexes you out and all. Buy clothes that are old and kind of too big and make it look like you're, you know, not eating properly. That's really good OPSEC advice right there if you do it. Just put them aside. If you can find some doctor smocks, you know, the smocks that they wear, you might, people looking and go, he's a doctor, you know, might get you somewhere. You don't know. It's just, I'm not going to tell people I'm a doctor, but if I put them on, people are going to think he has medical training. That might open up a door for me. I mean, just some things you can think about. Your brain can work as good as mine, and just think about where those things can go. But again, the two sizes too big clothing is an excellent thing for people to do. Nobody, you know, we all work out at the gym, want to look big and muscular and fit, and the worst thing we want to do is put clothes on that makes us look old and fat and baggy. But in that situation, it's good to look old, fat, and baggy. So.
Well, one of the things I saw, History Channel did a When Society Breaks Down. And they talked about how society will go from our industrial/post-industrial to basically hunting and gathering for a period of time, and everyone will be on their own. And they brought in these survival experts to talk about things to watch out for. And one of the things they talked about was the fact that you will see people doing what you're suggesting here, only in a slightly different application. They'll be imitating National Guard and law enforcement.
And precisely. It happens right now. Law enforcement's imitated regularly around the country. You know, and so, I mean, guy stops the car. What lady, you know, you're speeding. Get in my car with me. People do it. Well, let me see your badge. Call in. And any legitimate law enforcement officer, if he takes a woman into custody, is going to say, I'm taking a woman into custody. My odometer is 78,295 miles. It is 1,420 hours. I'll be at the station in 20 minutes. And they'll know that's how long it takes to get to the station. Any legitimate officer would do that. Throw you in the back of the seat and start driving around. No, thank you. My wife knows. Don't get in that car. We'll pay for the resisting arrest fees. We'll do whatever we need to do, but I'll take that cop to court and say you violated every standard procedure in the book for taking a woman in, and I'll fight it tooth and nail. And I don't know what good it'll do, but any legitimate police officers could have certain modus they work by, and the people imitate law enforcement all the time right now. That's one of the things they do when the president comes to town. They see if there's any stolen police officer uniforms. I mean, it's a regular thing for people to imitate other people. So that's an excellent point to make, Dave. Excellent, excellent point. I've mentioned it a couple times. Lieutenant Colonel Grossman on killing, on combat. You can go down and buy his DVDs. They are definitely worth watching. He teaches people all over the globe the things that we're talking about right now. And a lot of military training background talking there, so he's somebody to listen to.
One of the other things they talked about doing was if you have to stay in your home for whatever reason, maybe you have someone with a medical need and can't travel, they said take your chests of drawers, a few of them, take your clothes and throw some of your clothes and chests of drawer out on the lawn. Make it look like your house has already been ransacked.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, this is where common sense starts to come into play. If you see everybody in your house, if you see all the houses in your neighborhood ransacked. Now, if you've got a couple of miniguns and, you know, some rocket launchers and mortars and M1 Abrams in the backyard, yeah, don't throw it out in the front yard. Just wait for them to come in and then you can deal with them. But most people don't have those kind of, that kind of hardware. In fact, nobody has that kind of hardware. Yeah, making your house look like it is, again, that's the same reason we buy clothes too big, because it makes you look like you haven't eaten properly. You're hungry. You know, you're malnourished, and you're going to look like everybody else. So, yeah, you want to fit in. This is the gray man on steroids. You know, you don't want to be the guy, you don't want to be the old man in the striped pants and the polka-dotted shirt. That's going to stick out. You want to fit in. You want to blend in. You want to look like everybody else. And that way you don't get noticed. So, anybody with a, you know, can think through this problem and say, what's going to happen, and let's play what happens. You know, there are some card games out there. I think you've probably heard them. It's called Conflicted. Have you ever heard of the Conflicted card games? You can go online. People can go online and get them. And it's like a deck of cards. But they're situational questions. You know, you have five people in your group. You've maintained excellent OPSEC. All of you have taken a vow that nobody knows about anything you've done. But then after it all happens, one of the people in the group says, I'm leaving. What do you do? I'm not going to answer the question. What do you do? Because they could take all that information and tell somebody else. So what do you do? The card game, I like it because what it does is it runs by scenarios that you might really have to face. And so, you know, it's the Conflicted card game. I mean, I don't know who sells them, but I'm sure if you go online and Google it, you'll find them. Like I said, a lot of good questions there to ask, and sit around a table with your friends and start asking those questions. And first of all, see if you even agree. And then try to come up with some legitimate answers that what would we do if this scenario happened? So
a lot of good survival tips, Bob, but I'm afraid we are out of time for this segment. I want to thank you so much for joining us, and good follow-up to what Doug was talking about, because if things go south like I think they are, people are going to be faced with a lot of these kinds of decisions.
I'm just going to say, Dave, calm and night vision. Get it. And then, you know, again, stock up now. Well, it's legal. Calm and night vision. You will need it.
Exactly. Well, Ready Made Resources is Bob's website. And we will, readymaderesources.com, I should say. Bob,
thanks
so much for joining us. Riveting. And I will be talking with you soon, and we look forward to your next appearance. To everybody else, we will be back in hour number three with Katie as she practices caloric restrictions on Dave Hodges. Stay tuned.